welcome to the Mystical Mother Earth Show. I'm your host, Golden Hawk, and with me tonight is the enchanting Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Hi, thank you. That was amazing. So you surprised me so great.
Well, I changed it. I changed it at 7:30 tonight to that song.
It was great.
And then
I'm
telling you, I felt it. Wait a minute. Why did it surprise you, just out of curiosity?
No, just, you know, it's such a song from, like, was it the 70s? And, you know, kind of like hippie and Magic Bus. And I don't know. It was just really a good memory for me. You know,
oh, right,
another
on.
Good.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah. And very, like, for me, like, the music of freedom, you know.
Right on.
So, yeah. And I remember those days. It was great.
You rode a few Magic Buses, have you?
Sure. Most of them Volkswagens, a few Dodges, yeah. So, no, I do. It's just a good memory and just fun because you pick such different, you know, it's very eclectic, so. I love it.
Right. Well, and I love it too when you, you know, like last week, Into the Mystic was such a, that was deep for me. You know, that's why, you know, they're fun because it's so funny. I originally had the song picked, I forget who it's by, I think the Smashing Pumpkins or whatever, mm-hmm. a song, I get knocked down, but I get up again.
Yeah. What a difference. This song is so... It's like an empowered song.
Yeah, well, and because all of a sudden it started hitting me that, you know, well, it almost feels like, I mean, that song is a great song, and at some point we might play it. It's downloaded,
yeah.
It's ready to go. It was just like, the Magic Bus to me really kind of was like, you know, it was, I mean, from my own experience, learning to be magical beings.
Yeah.
Is about kind of having, you know, the understanding I get knocked down and I get up again. I mean, that is definitely a part of learning to be magical beings. So the song that says I get knocked down but I get up again seemed to focus more on the getting knocked down, where Magic Bus seems more like, you know, oh, hell, man, we're making mistakes. But, you know, because, like, the beginning of the song is like, I want the bus. And they go, you can't have it.
I
want the bus.
Okay.
Yeah, right. And then later on in the songs, it's like, I got my Magic Bus. It's like, it's,
right,
you know, and of course,
right.
Simon's feeling this as well, you know, with his shares. And, you know, we've been talking lately. It's like, you know, it's just not about getting knocked down. I was like, no, I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on, yeah, we got, you know, if you stay with it, the perseverance of staying with what your heart is telling us, you know,
that's
and telling
true.
You.
No, that's so true. You know, and,
yeah.
And it's like a cooperative thing too. You know, you got to get on the bus.
Great word. Yes.
You know, and
yes.
It's proactive and it's, you know, it's not passive. And I love that you brought magic into it, because it's true that, you know, it's not about being dutiful or doing, or it is about that creative. To me, creative action, you know, getting on the bus, but it's a magic bus. And why is it a magic bus? It's like, because, you know, it's not the bus of rules, or it's of originality to me. And see, that's what that music signifies to me back then and now. It was original. It was very original and free. You know, it wasn't pop music. It wasn't corporized. You know, it was like... It's just so different, you know. So,
Right? No, it's so funny because I recently on Netflix, they have all these biographies of bands, and I watch. Oh, by the way, that was Magic Bus by The Who.
Can it get
and
much better?
I watched the biography of The Who, and. They're an extraordinary group of guys, you know, and you know, they had difficulties, but the story, because I didn't realize, you know, pretty much Pete Townsend writes all their music. I mean, including the entire opera of Tommy, and then Quadrophenia. I mean, like, you know, and it was just an interesting dynamic, because in the group, you know, you think to yourself, wow, there's only one guy writing all these amazing songs. Because
yeah.
I would think of myself like, wow, what pressure it must have been on Pete Townsend. Yet Pete Townsend clearly picked these amazing, you know, each one of the people, the drummer and of course, the singer, I can't remember names right now, Roger Daltrey and
right.
the drummer actually died, Keith Moon died. But he was like this, he was like a maniac, but Pete Townsend saw the genius in his maniac, which kind of, you
yeah.
know, kind of what Simon had wrote in the chat room before the show started, you know, I'm going insane, but I feel great. You know,
yeah, I
like,
saw that.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
yeah,
like
I said, it's about originality. It's not about following, you know, the rules or... I mean, it is a breakthrough thing and a freedom thing. And, you know,
yeah.
there's what I just reminded me of a very well-done movie, Almost Famous. So,
I've seen that movie, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So in Almost Famous, this is so great because the sister at 18 decides, you know, she's got to break free from her mother and leave because she's got to live her own life. And she whispers to her little brother, who turns up, you know, to grow up and be William, the kid who's in the movie, which is great, and he's a great writer. But she whispers to him in his ear as she's about to get in the car to leave with her boyfriend. She said, "There's something under the bed for you. It'll change your life." And so he pulls the bag out from under his bed, and it's all her albums that her mother... You know, who was very bright and funny, but really was, like, not letting them live.
She was a pipe.
Yeah. So she left all her albums for her little brother, and he was going through them, and he gets to the Who, and he opens it up, and there's a little note in it, and it says, "Listen to this with a candle lit, and it will change your life." Right, it's so great. And so he puts the light out in his room and he lights a candle. He's only like 11. It's so cute. And
yeah.
And the next thing, and he kind of lays down and the music starts, you know, The Who. And the next thing you know, he's 15 and the writer of rock and roll and goes on to be quite a successful writer. But really adorable and original, and you know, he followed his heart because that was his passion. His mom wanted him to be a lawyer, and yet he was just destined. He loved music, and I love that it was The Who that his sister told him to listen.
I'm getting chills as you're sharing this right now. It's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just so relative, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, and think how relative it is that. You know, one of the things me and Janine definitely want to share tonight is what we're seeing, and it's like so funny. I love that. You know, we didn't even plan, you know, the example of Almost Famous, you know,
right,
the movie
right.
Almost Famous. But how we wanted to share how there are literally points in our lives. And in my humble opinion, they really do happen in childhood. But
yeah.
they can happen, if they don't happen in childhood, then it can happen in, you know, your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. I mean, who are we kidding? It can happen the moment before you die. But there's a defiance.
Yeah.
There's literally a point where, you know, like the one, if you guys have been following me on Facebook, I've been reading a lot of or listening to a lot of Whitley Strieber's books, and he really, there was a poignant part in one of the stories. And let me get the name of the book, so at least
well,
I'm
the
quoting.
First one. What's the first?
The first
thing?
One.
Cause
well, the
I
first one I
that.
Read was The Key. So, but that's not the one I'm talking about. I,
no,
I mean
the one before that. Oh, the one that he reads aloud himself.
Correct.
That's a good one. I was listening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Secret School Preparation for Contact. And it's interesting because I love it that, you know, I was, you know, I just found it online and I was listening, and then I posted it, and me and Janine spoke like hours later, and she's like, I listened to it. And I was like, oh my God. Because I guess a good segue is to know, a few weeks ago, I had basically, I was, you know, looking into the Carla Turner's work, and I was reading about alien abductions. And what was happening inside of me is it was triggering tremendous amounts of fear. And the best way to share it, what that fear was like, it was childhood fear. It was fear when I that it is expressed through powerlessness. And so I was experiencing that a few weeks ago and was running it through my, you know, filters of logic and reasoning and, you know, self-reflection. And, you know, I've had a single conscious experience of being on a spaceship and nothing else. I have never had, at least I don't have any memories of ever being on a ship again. Now, that doesn't mean I don't resonate, which is, this is the weird part. You know, I read these books by Carla Turner, by Kim Carlsberg, by Whitley Strieber. You know, it's like, I resonate with a lot of, actually not Whitley so much, but I resonate a lot with these abductees in the phobias that I have, with Whitley as well. See, it's weird because the point I'm trying to say is I feel like I resonate with these stories of alien abductions, but in my own head, I don't have a single memory other than the one memory that I do have of going on a ship. I don't have a memory of being abducted. So I say to myself, you know, well then what the hell are you so afraid of? But I don't have the answer. I really don't. I don't have the answer of why, you know, I was deathly afraid of doctors when I was a small child. And to the point, I really have never gotten over that fear. I've simply worked my way that, you know, I mean, I've never broken a body. I got bit by a dog when I was 13, and clearly I went to the hospital and, you know, I had plastic surgery to sew up my face. Those are the kind of things. It's funny how fear goes out the door when when your nose is hanging off your face. You go, hey, maybe we'll go to a doctor and fix this. but I heard my father say the other day, he was talking on the phone to a friend, and he was talking about my health insurance because he pays for it. I wouldn't pay for health insurance. You know, am I glad that he pays for it? I don't know. I kind of have mixed feelings. I think it's a waste of his money, but he pays for it. But I heard him say to his friend, you know, there's all these increases in the insurance, but my daughter never gets sick. You know, she's insured up to the hilt, but she never uses it. You know, she doesn't go to the doctor, she doesn't go to the hospital, she doesn't get sick. And it's almost like there's a part of me that I'm realizing as I get older, it's not even just a fear of doctors. I sincerely mistrust them. You know, I could never give the power of my health over to them. They're not going to tell me what's right or what's wrong with me. You know, but again, if I had broken a bone or needed a stitch, I'm fine with that. I'm talking about the diagnosis of internal things and cancers and things of that nature, because, you know, I'm perfectly content, in all honesty, being my own diagnosis. So, but the point that I'm trying to make is there's some interesting fears that I have that, and I still experience, because I was experiencing them when I was reading these books and reading these stories. So I basically went into my logical mind and went, you know, if I really was being abducted on a daily basis, most of these stories that I've read have the government is also a part of these people's experiences. So they're not just being abducted by aliens. They're also being taken by the, you know, the U.S. government, who is totally, you know, just whacking people out, you know, just mistreating them and, you know, just taking, you know, overpowering them, you know, really some brutal, brutal experiences by the government. And again, that's never happened to me. So I basically just came to the scenario, okay, I'm not an abductee. I'm not an alien abductee. I'm going to let this go. And what happens is 2 weeks later, something inside me, you know, I ordered Kim Carlsberg's book. You know, I was listening to George in her interview, and she mentioned she had written a book called Beyond My Wildest Dreams. And what's so funny is, I mean, I've used that statement. It was just something that really resonated with me, just in the title. And I went, well, here we go again. I guess I'm gonna, you know, keep. And the reason why I'm sharing this is, see, this is the perseverance of, in my humble opinion, and Janine will share with you too, you know, her experiences and how she feels about this. It is a critical part of the journey of self that we be willing to go into our fears. And, you know, Whitley Strieber shares a point in the story in the one, what did I call it, secret?
Secret school preparing.
Preparation,
yeah. I mean,
for contact.
It's got a long name, but.
Well.
You posted it on Facebook. That's how I found it. And then what's really nice about it is he literally reads chapter by chapter on the YouTube that you, the link
right.
that you had.
Right, yeah.
And so honestly, I didn't really pay a lot of attention to the title, but that sounds right.
Yeah, no, it is right. I looked. And well, but what's so interesting is he talks about a critical part of his own personal journey was him leaving the house one night and, you know, getting on his bike, riding in the middle of the night over to this woman's house who had a telescope on her roof. And it's like, but it's not just that he you know, sneaks out of the house. I mean, because it's not just about sneaking out of the house. It's about he had been sick and his parents were going, no, you know, listen, you got to get better. You can't go to this. And you can feel it when he shares it in the story, as well as because it's his story. So when he's reading it, there's an energy about it. There really comes a point where sovereignty really trumps consequence.
Mm-hmm.
And in my humble opinion, that sovereignty that we could be doing as a child or as an adult is the initial birthing of the connection to our souls.
Mm-hmm.
Because we come to this experience, this earth experience of duality and not just duality. I mean, it's like this is not just about duality. We are living in godforsaken, really challenging times. I mean, like, there are days, like today I could tell when I woke up, the sensation in me was, I felt really fired up. And the first thing I started looking at online when I made some tea and I came online and I started reading about Julian Assange and, you know, the situation that he's in. And, I mean, I'm a huge fan. I donate to Julian Assange. I remember when I told my webmaster, I want to put WikiLeaks up on my webpage. And he literally was like, you know, you're gonna be noticed. You know, the government, it has, like, you know, it's like, you know, you become a light in a dark space when you support WikiLeaks. And I was like, I don't care. You know, I want to support this guy's journey of, you know, just putting the truth out there, because it's so, our world is, and this is something that Whitley truly took me deeper into, that the world is really fucked up for two reasons, greed and secrets. Mm. Like, that's what I'm getting in the exposure of Whitley Strieber's work, you know, whether it's an alien sharing this or not. Because it's interesting, Whitley doesn't seem to really, he doesn't get much into, you know, he calls them visitors, but he doesn't really, it's not like, you know, Kim's work and Carla Turner's work, they were describing people on metal tables and, you know, there were some, you know, medical procedures being done and that kind of stuff really spooks me deeply. I mean, I am deeply spooked about potentially lying naked with hundreds of thousands of beings, alien or otherwise, looking at me in such a vulnerable state and then, you know, and not being able to, you know, pull a blanket to cover myself up or stand up and say, you know, stop putting things inside my body, you know, whatever. You know, that is a lot to do with my fears. Where Whitley doesn't seem to really, he doesn't explore that area. He kind of explores what I would call the director's perception, because he's always conscious about, you know, who are we? What are the choices we were making? Who, you know, don't lose sight on the idea, on the fact that you are your own sovereign being, and you always have connection to that. And it's done in, you know, in a very poetic way, even though it's done based on, you know, alien encounters. Mm. So, you know, I'm finding it's and again, see, it's because I just keep looking into that which make, you know, even though I'm uncomfortable, I haven't closed the book. I mean, I did for 2 weeks. But, you know, the truth is, like anything else, you know when there's something inside of you going, you're not done with this. You're not done. And, you know, just because I always say, you know when I know I'm done? When it just, nothing's there for me. If there's no attraction, then I'm done with something. And that goes for relationships as well as belief systems. You know, there's a neutrality. When you're done with something, there's a neutrality where you don't get a rise. You don't, you know, you're not triggered and taken down. You're just like, yeah, okay, that, whatever that is. And for me, I'm very much, I'm committed to anything. You know, I'm committed to what attracts me, but in a world that we live in, most of the stuff that I'm committed to is the stuff that triggers me. But here's the beauty of it. I can actually tell you that if you stay with this stuff and you stay with the stuff that you're triggered on, inevitably what you do is you flip the belief that being triggered is a negative thing, and you start looking at being triggered as really a positive thing, because once you're triggered, it's no longer unconscious or subconscious. Now it's in your field of awareness. And once something's in your field of awareness, you can neutralize it. And, you know, how long that'll take? Well, I don't know how long that'll take. You know, I don't think it's about, there's no time frames on that. Because that's another thing Whitley talks a lot about, the idea of leaving time and yeah, being beyond time. You know, because recently, last week, me and a friend from Facebook, we had a falling out. And it was interesting because she was sharing with me that, quote unquote, she was like, stop pushing me so hard. You're pushing me too hard. And, you know, I said to her, I was like, well, I'm not pushing you any harder than I would push myself. You know, I mean, I'm not one, I don't take the night off and not self-reflect. I mean, and it was interesting because I heard something somewhere, and I think it might have been a Whitley situation. It could have been somebody else. I don't know. It could have been Eckhart. It could have been somebody else. But they actually said in their talk that, you know, in order to be a champion, you got to push yourself. You got to push yourself to a limit it's relentless. And it's not, to be honest, the pushing of myself is, I don't need anybody per se behind me to push me. I push myself. And if, if I, you know, if I dance with you in any way, meaning me and this woman, we were on the phone talking to each other pretty much every day. So, you know, it's just really who I am. But what I heard was, you know, not everybody's meant to be a champion. And, it kind of hit me like, you know, reminds me of like, you know, the Olympians. You know, mm-hmm. they train every day. There is no day off for an Olympian. Now, that's not to say they don't train different parts of their body or whatever, but you eat, you breathe, you sleep, you shit, whatever it is that you need to master. Well, that's my world in the world of self-reflection and consciousness. You know, and I find it to be incredibly rewarding because the breakthroughs that I have without a shadow, you know, without hands down, there is no question in my mind, the breakthroughs are always more rewarding than I ever knew they could be from when I first walk into the breakdown. You know, the breakdown clearly, you know, it can floor me and take me down. But when I stay with it in my relentlessness of just self-reflection and, you know, sitting with it and being with it, when I have that breakthrough, it's like, wow, okay, that's just amazing. And what's amazing is that it no longer triggers. The truth is, the breakthrough is ultimately, I'm simply not afraid anymore. I mean, that really is the goal of the neutrality of a situation going on within ourselves. It's you don't need Prozac and you don't need Valium and you don't even need pot. It's an organic experience that your body no longer reacts in a zzzz. Now it's just and the situation is the same.
I'm listening and it's like one of the things I think I find is I'm not attracted to denial. And I think that denial, you know, for whatever reason, I think that, and so not attracted to a denial means that I really like, and I said this to you the other day, that, you know, there are things in my life where when I hear something, and it's been for years, where I realize these are my, like, passions and curiosities are like the art of relating in relationship to myself and everything around me and people, and then the ability to hold the creative tension, because I think that is an art where you do get to the other side when you're able to hold the creative tension rather than run away from it or bury it or deny it or panic or, you know, I think that's an art, and I really love and more now than ever, considering that this reality is limited, so always looking beyond what you perceive or I perceive as this reality, because I'm very curious and passionate myself about that, about not buying into the fact that, you know, what you see right now is what you get, because I don't believe
right.
that. And so,
right.
So
that's a great,
you know,
observation.
I really see that. Once you get, and it is a natural process, and it is work, but it's like work of love, that you push through these places of denial, and what gets revealed is so incredibly rewarding, and it is hard, but it's worth it. And so mm-hmm. that is where that champion thing comes in, and
mm-hmm.
and so
mm-hmm.
I really, you know, I feel it for you, I feel it for myself, and I see that. Why I started listening to Whitley read his story, and I really got pulled in, because first of all, I love great stories, and this is a great story that he tells, and it's true, and that's even better. And, you know, and it's that he followed something innate in him from a very young boy. And if we all think about it, that if you're not blocked and you're not sort of like, you know, that there is something innate in us that from a young child we kind of knew. And, you know, and you know, whether or not we close that down, turn that off, go to sleep, you know, buy into what everybody's telling you. But there is a point, or many times, when you'll notice in your own nature and in mine, where you defy what other people tell you to do, or you defy because it's not for you, it's not right for you, and it there is truly such a payoff for that. But you know the thing about it is you can share that passion, but it may not be everybody's passion, you know. The benefit of that is very attractive to people, but you know you can't be an Olympian by just sitting on your couch and going, that would be great.
I want to share one thing, because this is something that, you know, both me and the friend that I'm speaking of, the program she has playing is the Good Girl program. I mean, and when I say she's playing that program, I mean, it's amazing to me how, quote unquote, and this applies good girl, good boy. This is not gender related. This is about when you don't break the rules because you want to be good, you want to be accepted by
you're afraid of the consequences. You know,
totally,
you're afraid of the consequences if you show up as yourself and you break, you know, you're not always the good girl or the good boy. You're yourself. The consequences
You're never yourself if you're playing the good girl or good boy program. You're
true.
Not yourself.
No.
Because authenticity is absolutely breaking free of the tribe. And in order to be a good girl or a good boy, you must conform to the tribe.
But the consequences.
It's amazing.
I think people don't like the consequences when you break them.
Well, they're afraid of them, so they don't even know. They don't even test them.
Right.
They don't even
test
the consequences. Right. And what I experienced, being with, because me and this woman used to talk 2 years ago, and we had a falling out for pretty much the exact same reason. She was like, you know, you're attacking me. Stop attacking me. And you know, I'm not attacking. I'm simply bringing awareness to her situation and saying, and it was interesting because one thing she kept saying to me was, I need more time. I need more time. You can't believe what I've done in this week, you know, is amazing. And I was like, you know, what she had done ultimately from my standpoint was simply acknowledge that putting her body in Mother Nature was healthy for her. And speaking up, speaking her truth, you know, a little bit. There was still plenty of spaces where she hadn't, but you know, in a couple of times she had, and she wanted me to like bow to her and say, "Oh, you've come so far, you've come." And I was like, you know, and because I kept saying to her, "This is not about time. This is about you breaking the rhythm of to be a good girl. You'll never have enough time. To be a good girl, you must always keep your mouth shut to what's true to you, period. That will never that won't change over time. To break free, it takes one moment, whatever in the moment. Because I was like, in the moment she was saying that to me, I was like, she kept, like, even in her yelling that you're attacking me, she kept asking for permission from me. And I was like, stop asking for permission. You don't need my permission to be pissed at me. Be pissed at me.
Right.
You know,
right.
It was just such an interesting dynamic, and it truly.
Well, you know, I love those places. I think that's where some really you've heard me say this before,
I know,
but
you do.
It's where some really good
do.
Stuff can happen when that
totally
tension
where.
Gets really high, and you know those comments come out that I think are life themes. You know, you're attacking me. That's a theme. That's been felt.
Oh, it's totally a belief.
Right.
Absolutely.
So no, but I think that, you know, those are, and then of course there's a point where it's like, you know, okay, time out and let's, you know, whatever. But I do think that those moments where that they have such potential. You know?
And they do. But you still got to walk through, you know.
Right.
Like, you know, Whitley got on his bike and left his house that night to go, you know, kind of break into this woman's house and play. He wanted the telescope to look at Mars.
Yeah, it was gutsy. It was definitely gutsy.
It was very gutsy. And
because,
you know, gutsy doesn't mean you have to, you know, break into a bank. This is not about the bigger the law you break, the more you're going to get from it.
No, this was to look at the sky through a telescope, you know.
Because it's even more than that. It's truly, you'll know inside of you
Right.
And if I could get the message across to everybody that's going to listen to this show, live or in the archives, to always know that when that urge within you, you know, to go in a different direction than what you've been told, whatever that direction is, whatever it is doing, including breaking into a bank, you know, there really is no, there's no defining it, whether it's, you know, you'll know when that part of you is urging you to be your own being, to make your own choices, to do what's best for you, because it's haunting you from within. It's haunting you not to do it. To listen to that specifically in this particular time we live in, you know, being September, what are we, 24th, 2012, is incredibly, you're gifting yourself tremendous beneficial openings and awarenesses that whatever's coming our way December 21st, 2012, and I do want to talk about that injection thing because I just resonate with that, and I'd like to share that, but not necessarily right now. So whatever's coming our way December 21st into 2013 and so on, you know, whether quote-unquote consciousness just shifts or if the whole planet, you know, actually, you know, where humanity ceases to exist. And the truth is nobody knows which one it's going to be. Is it going to be only a conscious shift, or is it going to be physical as well as conscious? And it was so interesting because I watched this video recently. You know, if you ask Japan or you ask people who have experienced, whether they be tsunamis or earthquakes or volcanoes, which are happening all over the world, just because they're not happening, quote unquote, in the United States, specifically where I live. I mean, like, you know, we get an occasional hurricane. We really, it just doesn't seem like there's a lot of earth changes happening in the area I live in. That doesn't mean, you know, if you went to Japan, if you didn't ask somebody from Japan right now, do you think there's earth changes going on? I think they would say, yes, I do think there's, because there are earth changes going on there. You know, it's like our awareness needs to be planetary. And because we're feeling it anyways, like, I'm the more I face my fears, the more I understand that there are, in the conditioning of who we are conditioned to be limited to maybe just our own household, or, you know, maybe we have a little bit more. Maybe we have a community within, you know, we have our home, and then we drive a few blocks where we work, and then we, you know, maybe we drive a few more blocks to, you know, we have friends and we have restaurants we go to, you know, but that's kind of like the sphere of our awareness. But, you know, in truth, our cells are literally holographic to the entire cosmos, let alone just the planet. So once we become aware that that's the case, that means what's happening in Japan is our cells are feeling that. That tsunami is somehow related to our bodies. Maybe we're getting heartburn because there's a volcano happening, you know, in Yugoslavia. I don't know the specific places where things are happening, but I know that your body knows what's happening. Whether your mind knows it or not is really secondary. Your body knows it, and in awareness, the whole game of awareness is to bring it up to your consciousness. Get it out of the subconscious and bring it into the consciousness. Hmm. And in my humble opinion, nothing does that more proficiently or efficiently than facing your fears. Because fears, for me, they're showing up as I'm pulling out structures in my mind that keep me compartmentalized so that my community isn't just the few blocks that I live in, but that, you know, my sensations and my experiences are becoming worldwide. You know, I got to share something with you, right? My father is driving me to get my tires done, and we're having this conversation, and, you know, my father is very passionate about finances and Wall Street and, you know, and he's a very generous man. You know, he's not a bad man. He is not a bad man, but he is limited in his beliefs. And so we were talking about something. I don't know if it was Mitt Romney. No, I was talking with you about that. Me and my dad were talking about something, and he started bringing up, you know, the changes that are taking place through the financial world, the economic changes. And I was like, you know, I'm always the one that comes in. And it's funny because he always gets me in these conversations in the car when I, you know, I can't leave. I can't tell you from a child. I've always had issues about being in the car with my dad. But but I didn't have an issue with this. So anyway, so I started sharing with him, going, you know, Dad, this is not just about the financial changes. I was like, this is a distribution issue. You know, I go, we have plenty of money on the planet, and we have plenty of food, and yet there are people who have none and are starving to death. As long as that's the case, the system sucks. And my father's like, yes, 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 I understand that. And I was like, and then we started talking something about the environment. And I started sharing with him about the environment, and it was so funny because to my father, he goes to me, he goes, stop being a lunatic. And I went, oh, when you talk about your passion, you know, you're a master of the game because, you know, it's okay for you to be totally passionate about the Wall Street and the stock market. But when I speak of my passions, I'm a lunatic. And it was like, it really did struck me because my father has been incredibly, incredibly gracious with me for the past couple of years, supporting me financially and really not riding me at all. He's not playing a control game with me. He's not, because I know it. So I started looking at the conversation in self-reflection, and I was like, what it is he has fears. And when I bring up those fears, he responds where he just, like, it's this gate. A gate comes down, and he goes, you know, his defense is calling me a lunatic, so we stop talking about those things. Because he doesn't want to address those things, because these are trigger points for him where, and I'm telling you, my father is very, he supports, you know, turtles being birthed in our backyard, the ducks in our pond, which used to be our pool, which is now just an, you know, a body of water that happens to sit in our backyard. You know what I'm saying? Meaning he's very earth conscious in his little piece of land. But he gets his information about global warming and all sorts of crap from CNN and people who are, in my humble opinion, because I've done the kind of research that he would do in the stock market, I've done that kind of research where Al Gore doesn't come across as somebody with integrity. You know, Al Gore is basically selling fear, you know, so his corporation can make billions of dollars on this whole global warming thing. You know, it was just very interesting having that conversation with my father, because my father he'll blurt out things to me all the time. Like, you know, he'll call me a dumbass and, you know, stupid, a fail, you know what I mean? But we haven't had that in a long time. And it was so interesting because when did it come up? When I started sharing my passion. And that was when he went into control mode and went, no, you will control that passion. And I was like, you know, because I was so tempted to say it, but it was like, it was a short ride to the place that I had to go, so I decided not to. But I was so tempted to say, you're afraid to die, Dad. You know, it's like, and you know what, at some point you're going to have to. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, that's a definite boundary that, like, you know, he'd rather not cross and consider.
And, right.
And, you know, and I mean, I think that, like, even listen, you know, over the weeks where you were, you know, reading those books by Carla Turner, and I was looking at them too, and then obviously just every day, I mean, there's information coming your way, my way, and then self-reflection and opening up, and you know, the welcoming of, and that is the thing about the what your father wasn't doing, which is opposed to when there's a desire to really know beyond this reality, that because it's something you're interested in.
What were those three questions? Wait a minute. I'm sorry. What were those three questions? Remember, and you added that one. What were those three questions? I wanted to post those. Remember you said you had two questions that you asked yourself, and then you wanted to add the third one was, you know, am I willing to expand the nature of my reality?
It's like if I were to – what I've noticed about myself, and this started, maybe really defining it like 18, 20 years ago, but what I've noticed is my interests, and then they cover a lot of territory, but they were two things that I used to talk about like on the radio and say – and then – but lately when I was talking to you, I said, you know, I'm now very aware of the third one, which the first one is – my real passion for the art of relating, and that's a huge category, you know. But it's there's just an art of relating, and that means so much, you know. Relating, I mean, that's just an introspective.
Yeah, that's a theory of relativity, to be honest.
Right,
that's,
right. But
you know,
it's
part
it's
of
an
it.
Introspective relationship with myself, which then completely affects how I relate to the world and people, and I'm very sensitive to that, and I just find that to be something that interests me. And I know that's a very broad thing to say, but then, but that covers so much, like in creativity and art. And if you read my stories, you'll see that I pay a lot of attention to how characters relate to each other, and mm-hmm. you know, and that I don't know, that's just something that I'm drawn to. And then,
I think it's your natural gift, by the way. It's your natural gift to observe,
right, and feel
and share about that.
Feel what's going on in terms of a relationship, and that could be, that's just like I guess a back and forth energy, and it's within myself as well. And I think that's where it starts, and then it goes out, you know. So
right,
and it interests me. So that's what's important. See, like it's not
right.
like you know, because when something catches your interest. And nobody ever said, I think you should be interested in the art of relating. I mean, I don't remember
seeing that on Career Day.
Right. No, so it's just something natural for me. You're right. And then
okay.
I remember a thing that really caught my attention when Angela Sarian, who is very passionate about that as well, in how you are with yourself and people, is the ability to hold the space in creative tension. Because that is something that when you feel, and this is another sensation thing, but when you feel tension, it's because you're in a creative process, and that could be with anything and anyone and anywhere. It's like, rather than go into denial, collapse, go into fear. It's to hold the space. Can you do that? And sometimes that even means non-action, but it's like the ability to stay in it, you know. That really interests me. And a lot can happen when you can do that, because, you come out the other side, or it's where something amazing and original and magic and, you know, or what you could never imagine, you know. So that interests me. But then I've really noticed that I can verbalize, and this isn't new, but I'm noticing it more now, is that I'm very interested in knowing beyond what we perceive as this reality, because I think it's so limited. That's another interest of mine that I like to challenge for myself. And so when I hear someone talking like Whitley or you know, anybody, you know, Nassim, you,
George Nassim, right,
you know,
right.
A musician, an artist, anyone that I sense has some, you know, some insight into beyond this limited scope and reality, I'm really interested in that. And so
right
that's, I think, what happens when And when you have these conversations with people where you meet their boundaries and they're going, okay, that's enough. And yep. I love that people want to call, you know, there's great ways, you know, and I love your father, so it's not about him, but, you know, they immediately want to test your sanity. They immediately want to call you conspiracy person. They immediately want to discredit you as crazy.
Exactly.
And, you know, and who cares?
Exactly.
I could care less. Right. And
I used to care. So, but the truth
me
is,
too.
I don't care from him anymore. I don't.
Right. Right.
Well, I don't think I care from anybody, actually. I think you're right on that.
You're right, too.
Well, see, and that's the beauty of it, because you know how I know I don't care anymore, because I simply didn't need to respond, you know, in kind, going, you know, well, you know, why is it that I can't be in my passion and you can be in yours?
Right,
you know,
right.
Like, you know, I really just was like, all right, listen, Dad, appreciate the ride. And then, of course, you know, I had, right after this conversation, I have the whole experience between Bed Bath & Beyond and the tire place, you know, like,
right.
Where really was some crazy stuff going on.
Sure, and, you know, you got to be open to that stuff, because that's beyond, you know, that's where... You know, if you're looking for
beyond
reality, and you know, you're going to see it. And, you know,
right.
I think also when I was younger, and this is just, you know, it's like exponential or however that is, where the numbers, you know, it's like increases and increases and increases, is that...
Yep, exponential is correct. Yep.
I definitely think that my shyness and hiding was not being comfortable with pushing the boundaries or knowing, you know, more, or, and then feeling like, okay, I'm not going to challenge, but that really started going away when, you know, when I, which is just like being 9 years old, but I was 30 something when I decided to
do a vision.
Well,
that's why, don't worry about the,
right.
I appreciate you sharing that it happened to you in your 30s, because,
right. Well,
listen, if it doesn't happen in our childhood, it can happen anytime.
Right.
Yes, sorry.
Well,
yes.
And there's major moments in your life where, you know, like for Whitley, too, I'm sure.
Of course.
Letting that man into his hotel room and having a five-hour conversation with a perfect stranger at 3 in the morning, you know, that was another adult moment of him being 9 years old and getting on the bike. You know what I mean? And
exactly.
For me, you know, in my adult, in 30s, it was going into, you know, facing the dark and being by myself in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, those are just, when you start to let down the hiding factor, because that was, see, and isn't that interesting?
The secret,
the hiding,
right on.
Well, yeah, and the hiding factor is so interesting that it would be synonymous by facing the darkness, which was a fear, you know. You know, it's just so fun to look back at that now and just see all the symbology, synchronicity, and you know, what are you hiding from anyway, you know, and that was in the dark, so to speak. So so there it was, you know, had to go in the dark to come out of the dark.
Well, that, you know, but listen, what you just said was a mouthful. That there's no escaping the dark other than going through it.
Right. Well, of course. And I know, you know, just, and I do remember this last radio show a week ago, wherever we ended up, which was amazing, because you said something like, it's just something about the deep feminine nature. And I'm going, that's what this whole show is about, the deep feminine nature. And you know, going into the dark to come out of the dark is also about that deep feminine nature, which is very... kind of what I love about it is it's intangible in a way, and it's kind of in the mystery of it all. And, you know, that can be hard, because it's like, wait, you know, it's like, where's the boundaries, and where, you know, can you really explain this? And it's like, no, you really have to experience it. And so,
well, right. Yeah. Because it, you can explain it. So if you, because for me, I know I work best, like when my mind knows,
Yeah.
But I don't get the breakthrough until my body experiences it. But for me, you know, I do have to, like, I'm trying to think of an example. Like when my car was hit in front of my house, the hit and run, a lot of magic that day, a lot of magic. In fact, the magic that I even saw, which was I was asleep in my bed and there was something told me. And I'll be honest with you, this is what I'm starting to get. And I was sharing this today with a friend of mine. It's something otherworldly. It really is. It's something otherworldly woke me up from a sleep and got me to sit up at my computer, lift the blind, so that when this woman came careening down the street at 6:34 in the morning, a.m.,
yeah.
I could see it. I could witness it. Now, once all this happens, right, I witness it, I run out there, you know, she leaves the scene. I saw the car. I didn't see her license plate. I call the cops. And once all of that kind of, like, legwork was done, then there was a moment in time, because this is how I operate. I was like, oh, son of a bitch, I am going to knock on every door up and down my street to look for that car. I saw the car, you know, and I'm going to look for the car. And then I got a hit inside me. It's like, listen, you know, the law of attraction. How does the law of attraction work? The law of attraction works that, you know, if someone goes out and says, I want to rob somebody, and somebody else goes out and says, I hope I don't get robbed, they become connected. Because you can't hope for the negative. As long as, you know, part of the law of attraction is there's nothing negative. It's all affirming. So if someone's going, I hope I don't get robbed, the universe really reads that as, well, you're going to get robbed. So I knew that. And so I went, okay, I don't need to open up every garage door by pounding on people's doors. What I need to do is know in my heart, I'm going to get you. I'm going to find out who hit my car, because whoever hit my car, I promise you, is afraid they're going to be caught. I mean, that's a no-brainer. And 2 days later, a cop that wasn't on the case goes, come with me, we want you to identify the car. And I did. And it was at the end of my street, which, of course, my street is a cut-through. You know, there was no logic saying that car came from the end of my street. That car could have came from somebody coming off the highway, cutting through, you know, our street to getting to a different part of town. But so for me, it does work for once my mind knows. But the key is, okay, so once your mind knows, you gotta give some trust into the mechanics of the universe so that they can work. And that's what I think is partially, you know, whacking me, you know, kooky bird right now, is the mechanics are changing. It is so obvious to me that the mechanics of reality are changing. And I don't necessarily know what they're changing into.
Yeah. Remember you asked me the other day some question, and I said, I don't know. And I knew that I don't know is actually, you know, you don't have to know, right? I mean, that's what's happening in this, you know, you don't know, but you keep, I mean, I don't have a problem with that. You know, like you're moving along and you've got a sense and you keep following, but it's not like I've arrived. I forget what it was, but do you remember when you asked me? And it was like, I was like, oh, okay. It's like, yeah, let me think about that. And it was just, or let me be with that. And I just remember it was the I don't know. And I think that in some ways that's the deep feminine working, where it's not always, you know, it's like let it be inside, let it work, let it, you know, kind of what's the word, like, not incubate, but germinate or something. Because I didn't have the answer. And so I didn't have, you know, it's like, you don't have to have the answer. Sometimes when reality is shifting like that, or you're not sure, you know, the I don't know is a good place. You know, it's a very deep feminine dark place. So, do you remember that, Goldie? Hello? Hello, Goldie? Hello? 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 Goldie? Hello? Hello? Goldie? Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
I don't I couldn't, it won't let me hang up as the host on the switchboard, but it won't, you can't hear me as the host. So
are
I
we
called
on the radio
in as a listener. But I don't know, can anybody else hear us?
Can Simon, can you hear us?
Hello?
I don't know.
You're on?
You're on.
We're all right. I'm a guest on my own show.
Hey, now that's different.
Well, I, when
I
you
like
said,
it.
I can hear you. Okay, thank you, Simon. We clearly drove everybody. I think Goldie drove the magic bus away. It's like, no. I wouldn't do that without you guys on board.
We were deep in it, that's for sure.
Well, that is truly bizarre. Okay, so I just got to explain to you what happened because,
okay,
first of all, it's still happening, which is so, okay, for whatever the reason, when you call in, when I call in as the host,
yeah,
it's a special number. I don't call the 646-929-2084, but it won't let me hang up. Yet that host number does not work. I'm so glad you can hear me, Simon. So I kept trying to hang it up, but I was afraid if I hung it up, it was going to end the episode, and it was going to say,
right,
that's it, you know, because that's what happens when we hang up. But actually,
right,
you have to hit another button on the thing that says, end the, do you want to end the show? And, you know, I was not hitting that. I just kept refreshing the page. And, well, anyways, it's so funny because right now I'm technically on the studio as the host and as a caller.
Okay. That's
see?
Perfect.
Yes. I believe I'm schizophrenically, you know, on this call. And because all of a sudden it hit me. It was like, okay, so don't call in as the host. Call in as a caller because I could hear you.
Well, you know, it's so funny because I was so feeling the, you know, when I said, and I don't know, and that's okay not to know. And Goldie, remember about the dark and the feminine mystery, and then I'm going, hello, and then Simon was staying with me though, and I was like, oh my god, and Simon and I were having fun, and you know, it was just such an odd experience, but It was kind of funny to happen just
right
when
we were talking about.
Right. And
exactly.
And then I was like, expect the unexpected because it's happening now.
That's, you know, it's like we don't need to use examples from even a day ago. We, you know, it is, and it's truly what I'm saying. See, I don't understand how this energy works.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't... I won't say what I do. And this is in the art of relating. It relates to what we were just talking about. Whatever's
absolutely
happening, right? And so
yeah,
it almost feels like because I was at a friend of mine's house who,
well, I just want to say how playful Simon was and how fun he made it. It was like,
right on, right
let's
on.
Go to the glen where fairies and gnomes live, Janine. And I'm like, yeah, because Salty laughed on the magic button.
Oh, okay, I see.
We're
in Adele.
It was so cute.
No, Simon rocks. Simon rocks. He rocks and he trees and he meadows.
He plays well.
He always has. Right on, Simon. We love you around here. In
so,
fact, we're going
to
get him on the air. One of these days we're going to get you on the air, Simon. We're actually,
that'll be fun. That'll
yeah,
be fun.
That ought to blow a few circuits. Well, and what's so funny about this is, you know, I have friends of mine who they're experiencing, you know, this awareness, and the way they're interpreting it is to do ritual.
Mm.
And listen, I was with Almeen's work for many, you know, 2 years where I was, you know, building seer stones in my brain, and you know, I was doing a lot of ritual, and I personally don't resonate with ritual anymore because in my humble opinion, ritual is trying, it's not trying, ritual is taking an organic experience, and kind of forcing it to be what you want. In other words, it's telling life what you want from it instead of letting life show you what it wants to give you.
Right.
And again, it's all divine. You know, everybody's time is their own. Because in all honesty, I did not expect us to recover just now. Just now, I really didn't. I mean, this was about five. And that's why thank God we had the chat room up to at least say, okay, well, you know, don't go away. You know, I do want to try and fix this. You know, and where the thought came to me, you know, to call in as a guest, you know, I guess it came to me because twice I tried to call in and they go, the host is already dialed in. There can only be one host. And it's like, okay, well then let me stop being the host, who's clearly, you know, the host part of me is whacked.
That was resilient and creative thinking, Goldie. And
Well, a part of me is mute. That's what's so interesting. Cause let's self-reflect this, you know, like,
okay,
because I'm, because this is what I do, and this is what you do, and this is what Simon does. We really do, you know, because I look at that and go, well, why? Oh, and you know what I'm getting is, stop talking so much, Goldie.
Really?
Well, I just got just now that, you know, I was talking about the story, and maybe I shouldn't be talking. Maybe we should be listening more. Or I, not we, me. Because it got, you know, as the host, I got muted.
Well, you know, I just thought it was interesting how what we were talking about, the deep feminine nature and the mystery and the I don't know, and, you know, and I do think really that this, and then I was saying, you know, the creative tension, and honestly, the creative tension in that little experience was really playful, because I kept calling in and hanging in there, and Simon kept me informed, like, I'm still here and I can hear you, but I can't hear. And there was just something, so we were all working on problem solving, but it was fun,
right?
You know, and
right on.
And I think that, you know, if anything, it's a great example of resiliency, creativity, creative tension. You know, this is almost, to me, when all the work that you've done on yourself and myself shows up. Because,
yeah, right on. Okay,
right,
right on. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's like, hey, it would, you know, it's like, keep going, keep trying, you know. I realized that if the show was going to stop, it was going to stop. But, you know, I just stayed on. I kept calling in and staying on the phone. And Simon was writing all these great things. And, you know, we were just having fun thinking, well, where's Goldie, you know? And it was just...
Goldie drove the magic bus. I read that. I was like, I wouldn't do that. Honest, guys. Not without the both of you on the bus.
Yeah, but it was really playful and fun.
I know.
And, you know, and I just think that that's kind of it in a nutshell. It's kind
well,
of what
right.
matters.
Maybe that's the answer,
you know,
through the eyes of the child.
Yeah, yeah.
You
and
know, the kingdom of heaven is experienced that.
And either way,
not
it was
going to
work out. Either way, it was going to work out, you know.
Well,
and
I really was. I was surrendering too. I was okay. You know, we won't finish out the show tonight.
I even had a moment where, I was typing to Simon and waiting for it to see if you were coming on, and then there was this moment where I said, well, you know, maybe the show's over, and then I said, won't Goldie and I have an amazing conversation after the show as to what happened?
Well, exactly.
so
yes, our recap would have been quite different if we didn't. Well, and, you know, it's so funny because as much as, you know, this
don't
is... Yes. No.
Well, what I love is also is another thing is I love with working with what's current. And this is what's current, you know,
right
we were on,
right on,
we were on, and usually we do that. I mean, the shows are about, you know, what's going on that week, and then for
right.
us, you know, and then it was all of a sudden, there you go, and then what's current is the moment, and I love that. to me, that's how it works.
Yeah, because so. I think it could have easily... You know, I love it because it could have easily rattled me. I mean, I can remember doing shows, you know, live shows where things would go wrong. And I mean, this is early in my radio career. I would freak out that there was not this level of perfection.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, this reminds me of the fractal thing because last night, somewhere, you know, before light, but, you know, I was... sleeping, but then I woke up.
Oh, okay.
And I remember I was like uncomfortable, and I was thinking about my book and book signings and getting the book out there and me being out there. And all of a sudden, I was like, eh. And I was getting like this weird, like uncomfortable feeling. And then all of a sudden, I was like, will you have fun? And who cares? I was
right
like,
on.
Just
right
get it, you know, and it was kind of like, whatever, enjoy it, and it's all good, and it's like, don't overthink this, you know, and don't,
right.
And it really, I could tell that, you know, I was telling myself, you know, stop it. You know, you're being, you're not even enjoying it, you're overthinking it, your work is like, it's ridiculous, and it's like,
listen, Janine, it's you're tapping into what is literally incredibly prevalent on the planet.
Right.
So, you know what I mean?
I realize
it's
that.
It's not that you're necessarily going there. It's knocking on your door going, I'm coming in.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? It's like.
Right. Right. But the awareness that it's coming in, you know, on a you know, across the board level, but also
right.
personally, because it was, you know, in about my book, and
right.
and I was like, but then I really got it, and tonight would have been the same thing, where we're doing a radio show. The radio show is really fun, and it's so, for me, it's so enjoyable no matter where we go. And then it's like, you know, I loved how it just fell into this playful, we'll figure it out no matter how, and if we don't, you know, we'll be back.
We, right, walking
you know.
Our talk. I
right.
love that we walk our talk. I mean, that's...
Right.
That's integrity. I love being in integrity. I do.
So, right, and I just think that, you know, that you kind of like, it's like, don't overthink it. You can't make, you know, it's not a mistake. It's like, and I do think that the best things happen when, you know, kind of gets all... changed around, and it's like think on your feet, you know. And,
yeah, absolutely.
And those are some of the best moments I've ever experienced. You know, when so it was really kind of made the show very poignant.
I mean, I'm kind of chuckling because you know I oh, continue.
What?
Okay, so now it's asked. You are not connected. Please call in.
Oh.
I mean, that's
what Simon Harris?
I'm hitting continue.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know what they want from me. Simon, can you hear me? Simon, can you hear us? Okay.
I can hear you guys. Yay.
Okay. No problem. Okay. I'm going to stay on the studio. I'm not going to be in the chat room because I'm going to keep an eye on the...
Sure.
So just so you guys... Because I don't, you know...
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not a schizophrenic anymore. Now, that's interesting. So, because he wouldn't let me hang up. So
that
now it's hung up. So we're without a host.
We're hostless.
Technically, we're both guests. Well, so what's coming up for me is...
Yeah.
Switching roles, switching belief, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
This feels like, okay, how easily can we put a new perspective in, you know, because, of course, the host has control and power, you know, I'm the host, you know, all the buttons work for me, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
You know,
right.
And yet that, you know... If I didn't think outside of my own box and go, well, just be a guest, call the other number, call the guest number, don't, because it wouldn't let me call. And I'm really not sure what would happen at this point. I mean, I'm hoping it allows me to end the show. I don't know if it will or not. You know, that'll happen. We'll figure
right,
that out
right.
in 36 minutes.
Right.
But I have to share that I was talking to Scott today, and it's funny because both you and Simon know the story about the gentleman – you know, at the tire place.
Yes.
Because I did say to myself, okay, let's see. You know, I always say that life flows when I'm in integrity, life flows. And I'm not sure if this is all, you know, something to do with, you know, that situation mm-hmm. that happened.
Hmm. Well, what did Scott say?
Scott, well, Scott's always sarcastic, so Scott is like, watch your back, you know what I mean? He's happy to put the, you know, the jinx monkey on me, you know, kind of in his, that's his dark humor, I mean, that's just the way, you know, we play.
Yeah.
So let me just briefly share the story, so, yes, Simon relates. So, in a nutshell, I'll tell the story again next week, you know, or something. But in a nutshell, the gentleman at the tire place, my bill was $313, and look at those numbers. God bless. $313, but he only asked me for $213. Mm-hmm. So I only gave him $213, even though I was quite aware. Well, I wasn't aware of it initially. I mean, I knew I had been quoted a higher price a few days before when I ordered my tires, but, you know, I didn't really know what was going on. I was just happy to have $100 more in my pocket when I left. But when I went to my girlfriend's house, the people who I happen to be talking about who are talking about doing ritual with this energy, I sat in their driveway right before I went into their house, and I looked at the bill. And on the bill, it said $313. And, you know, I truly was like, wow, well, alrighty then, you know. And here was the interesting part about the whole tire situation. I was at Bed Bath & Beyond. I had bought a pillow thinking it was – I saw the sign that said $9.99. When I get to the register, it rings up $19.99. So there was like – there was this total presence between Bed Bath & Beyond and the tire place that everyone around me seemed to be – it was like we weren't functioning – in alignment, which again was kind of humorous because, you know, I even wrote the post in the morning, I'm getting new tires and I'm getting alignment, and yes, I'm enjoying the metaphor, you know, because it seemed the whole day, you know, from my father calling me a lunatic to paying $10 more for the pillow than I thought I was going to pay in Bed Bath & Beyond, to then going down the road and saving $100 because the guy looked at the paper and saw $213 instead of $313.
Yeah.
Okay, I need you to go a little deeper than that.
No. I'm listening because I'm curious as to how you might – I mean, from my perspective, if you're equating, like, the break in the radio show to a lack of integrity, because, I mean...
Well, I'm questioning that. I'm looking at that. I'd be lying to say I wasn't if
right,
I wasn't.
Right.
So, okay, and I'm happy to process on the air. I've done that, you know, on several episodes of what I do. Because... Now, here's the interesting thing. The gentleman, they called me. They called me later that day. And, you know, I answered the phone and they go, Miss Hawk. And I go, yes. And they go, did you pay with a debit card? And I went, no, I paid all in cash. And I was thoroughly expecting them to say, how much did you pay?
Right.
And I was absolutely going to say $213. And I know they were going to say, oh, well, you owe us $100. I mean, but they never asked that. They went, okay, thank you very much. Goodbye. You know, they hung up the phone, and I went, really? I go, you guys were a question away from balancing your bank, but you didn't ask me. And then, of course, now it's on me. Do I call them and say, listen, the gentleman only asked me for $200. You know, I'm in that space where, you know, $100, I could use that $100. There's no doubt in my mind. I was like, you know, yay! But, you know, I'm also in the space of, wow, you know, the show got kind of wrinkled tonight. You know, that's interesting too, you know.
Mm.
So what is your take on this? I am curious about that.
Well,
Simon,
yeah,
feel free to share on yours as well.
You know, it's kind of funny because it's what I was saying prior to – I don't really have one, you know. I think that, I mean, I don't feel really prone to say, oh, yeah, I think that, you know, the show, I don't feel that, you know.
Feel that I was out of integrity by accepting the price as it was said to me?
I mean,
even
I
though
probably
at a later
would have
time,
done
I knew
the same thing.
Huh?
Oh, at the time, it was later on when you looked at the receipt and...
Well, it was after I drove away, right?
Before
when I got to my next destination, I picked up the bill and went, I knew from that point,
you know, On many levels, I probably would have went, oh, wow, that's kind of a nice gift, you know, thanks. You know,
Right. But
right.
What happens when they call, you know, and you really, you know, I kind
well,
of really
I mean, it
sense
wasn't,
this if, guy
if the
is
next
freaking
question
out.
Was, well, how much did you pay? I know you would have said what you paid. They didn't ask you.
I would have never lied.
No, I know that. So,
that would have
so,
tore me up. I was expecting,
right.
I was like going, okay, here it comes, and I'll,
right,
go,
okay. Yeah,
and I'll
yeah.
go and bring the $100. But they never
well, see,
asked.
It's a funny thing about creative tension, because you sort of held the space, and, you know, they could have asked you the question, and they didn't, and you would have answered if they had. And so
yes.
I don't see that as a lack of integrity, but...
Okay.
You know, I mean, if you feel that that's disrupting the radio show, or you're just questioning it, I'm not sure you feel that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, no, and I am questioning,
right.
because
yeah.
I simply said what I'm going to do is I want to watch my world. This is what I said when I told my girlfriend the story. I
right.
said what I want to do now is I just want to watch my world and see how, because it's about almost like everything's in the river. You know, it's not about going back, you know, but it's about, okay, now if this ends up being, you know, a thorn in my foot, it might be the only way for me to get rid of it is to go
okay.
to the place and say, listen.
I agree, because now I'm thinking, you know, and I think we might have said this, if it had been $100 on the other side, I think you would have, you know, went, hey, that's more than you guys told me, or you would have went back and said you charged me $100 too much.
Yeah, listen, have we not discussed that I worked for a month as a nanny, didn't get paid, that I've been nickeled and dimed by this
yeah,
one?
Yeah, so,
you know
I
what I'm saying? I get that,
no,
definitely.
So, right, so I think that there's many ways to look at it, and I think that questioning it is really good and looking at it, you know, I don't know. You know, it's kind of like, for me, I don't really have a deciding answer on that. Like, you know, I see like you said, like you worked for a month and you didn't get paid, and then you may pay $10 more for the pillow than you thought
well,
you
exactly.
would. And then,
right. It's
you know,
a dance. It's how
it all plays out, you know.
Right.
I mean, personally, I don't think the radio show is disrupted for that reason.
All right, and Simon is saying he's curious as to why my position would be neutralized by loss of integrity. And it's so funny that, because the way I read that, Simon, is for me to be neutralized is only an integrity. In other words, I'm polarized by a loss of integrity.
I love that he said maybe you hacked reality.
I know, that's a great line.
I love that.
Well, you know, because... Listen,
oh,
the one he has great lines. You got to get a calling card, Simon, because we need to hear your voice. I mean, God bless. Of all the years I've known him, I still haven't talked.
Wait, you know what I'm sensing here? I'm sensing with Simon, guilt-free, and I'm like, I like that.
You know, it is. It's like guilt-free. Well, see, because, you know, guilt only works if you accept it. And I'll tell you.
I just really see it as his slant on it is really wonderful. I just like it. You know, it's kind of I don't know. I think it's really good for you to look at it, because you don't want to leave. You know, like it's like turn over all the stones. Don't leave any of them with anything under it. You want to look at it all.
Right.
But where you arrive at is you know. It may not be tonight, and it might be tomorrow, or, you know, I think Simon's got some really good insight you know, you might be in some, I think it's good to look at it, but you might even be overthinking it. Like I was saying last night to myself, with my anxiety about, you know, and go out in the world and this is what happens. And then you expose yourself and the pressures that come with it. And then I was like, what are you doing? This is so silly. Who cares? You know?
Yeah, right
and,
on, babe.
And I
right
think
on.
That we, I think that we, you know, it's good to catch yourself and realize, like, you know, there's a little bit of like, really? Are we going to overthink this so much that we're robbing ourselves of a really kind of fun and enjoyable experience, you know, where, like, Simon's reaction is really fun. yeah. and lighthearted, and he's not getting caught in the I did something wrong and now I'm getting punished kind of thing, you know. But
yeah.
It's a good question. I don't know. I mean,
well, and you have to look at these things if you want to understand the relationship of me and life. I mean, I totally agree with everything you've just said, because I think it's important for us to look and be lighthearted. It's almost like I can take these things very seriously, but I can also become, you know, literally in a moment, be lighthearted about it, because that's part of the journey of learning that, you know, the shadow work, it is the deep, you know, feminine nature, where it can feel so doom and gloom and big scary monsters. I mean, and I'm not, you know, meaning it literally can feel that. Boy, just ask any abductee. They clearly,
I agree with that, and
big
that's what
scary.
I was feeling last night. I was really like, you know, I could feel myself making something that I should be enjoying unpleasant. I was making something that I've created and putting it out there, and I'm going, and it was really uncomfortable. And you know, here's the, and they say this, that in the discomfort, you're arriving at something that you need to look at.
Exactly.
So that's what the discomfort's all about, maybe in the first place. So pay attention to that, and I think, okay, so you're going to arrive at something about this when, you know, and it'll come up.
Well, on some level, it's happened just now because, I mean, look at it. Because, you know, part of it was like, I literally was saying to myself, are you going to discuss this on the air? You know, like, because, you know, I'm all about walk your talk, and, you know, I really wasn't sure if I was in my integrity. But here's the truth. Remember what I told you, that why is it funny how everybody in a room, whether it's a drug dealer, you know, a child molester and a thief, mm-hmm. for me, what I've experienced is the only ones that don't own it is the thieves. They just won't own that they're thieves.
Yeah, yeah.
And that there's integrity in owning it. So here I am on the radio show going, yep, I kept that $100 myself. Well, because I did. So if I, you know, that's the interesting thing. It's like, is it act of integrity? Because, yeah, I mean, what Simon wrote is so, you know, a way of discovering your own inner brilliance and radiance. Because, you know, how do I put this? The world is not it's not about justice. You know, if you want to, if it's about justice, why is Julian Assange, you know, being charged with rape and being, you know, withheld funds from PayPal and credit cards because of the information he's sharing about the liars coming out. You know, and I'm not saying that as a way to get out of what I did. I'm simply mm-hmm. saying how we live our lives, the transparency mm-hmm. is the integrity. It's the transparency.
Yeah, I think that's true. And you even said it earlier in the show about, so Whitley said, I'm pretty sure I'm going to say this right, but he said a way to get out of this prison is by kind of not having the buying into the secrets or uncovering the secrets or,
yeah,
you know.
Secrets
okay,
and greed.
So,
yeah.
Right. So what's interesting, you know,
so I had greed, but I
can't. No. So what I like, what organically, like you even questioned whether you brought it up, but what I like is, and this is for me about you, is that you are ultimately so transparent and that you do bring it up. And I think it's just so to see that we got disconnected and for whatever reason that was. I mean,
right.
Whatever that
could have been the same otherworldly beings. I mean, clearly it could have.
Well, it could. Whatever it was. It
maybe
was,
that was my pact. You know, you want that $100? Well, you're going to have a disruption in the middle of your show.
So what? But what is interesting is that whatever that was, it inevitably had you bring it up to investigate it and look at.
Right on.
And make it transparent regardless of what decision or feeling you come to.
That's true.
Yeah. So I think for me, I'm always amazed at you know, what, like, okay, I was driving to Princeton. Did I really want to go? I guess not, because I was edgy. I was uncomfortable. I couldn't get there. I got halfway there. I kept going the wrong way. You know, I was just uncomfortable. And then I turned around, and for whatever reason, I heard this incredible radio show, and I thought, well, there it is. So whatever reason, you don't, you know, it's like you don't pay the $100 for the tires, and, you know, there's an uncomfortableness, and then, but there's something you will arrive at that will have a benefit.
Yeah, right. And I trust
right.
that. I do trust
I know,
that.
And I do too, because
right on.
That's how it works. I mean,
it is how it works.
Yeah,
it is how it works.
And when you can notice it and look at it, and it was funny because I knew you knew I was edgy, and like you don't typically hear me edgy. And then I called you back and I go, I didn't get to Princeton, but.
Right, right.
But I heard a radio show. You know, and it was like, it played itself out. And this, you know, I like to. It's like, who can predict it, but these things play themselves out, and there's something there for you, and it will be the way you arrive at it is, you know, it's kind of like you didn't pay the $100, and I didn't ever made it to Princeton. You know?
You didn't get to the labyrinth that day.
but something came out of it, and something will come out of it, too, for you, which is,
right.
Some kind of
well, I mean, you know, it's funny because right after I paid the bill, he goes, "Oh, and by the way, you have a leak in your exhaust." Now, again, this is all metaphors, right? If I'm looking at everything as a metaphor, everything's a metaphor. So
right.
he goes, "You have a leak in your I almost said metaphor. You have a leak in your exhaust," and he goes, "You don't even want to know how much that costs." And I was like, "Oh yeah, I do. How much does that cost?" And he was like, $1,200. And I'm like, $1,200. And it's funny because I had just thought about it recently, going, you know, I really need my car to last because, you know, at this point, I don't have the income. Like my father could buy me a car, but I don't even have the income to pay him back. It's like, you know, I really need my car. You know, that's why I felt good. It was like, okay, give it tires. You know, get the alignment.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Treat her good. Scott's been changing the oil. You know, we just got to make it through until something happens with my finances, which, in all honesty, really hasn't shifted that radically in the last 2 years. I mean, for the last 2 years, I'm basically living easily under the poverty level. Easily.
Right.
You know, and again, you know, because one thing that people have told me who have listened to the show, Susan was one of these people I remember a while ago. Other people have shared it too. Is I'm not complaining. I'm self-reflecting. I mean, I'm having situations because there's a huge difference between complaining, because complaining is saying I'm a victim to this, and I'm not a victim to this. I'm simply witnessing my part in the world, the wheel of life, so to speak, you know, like,
right.
You know, I mean, because I am very much taking responsibility that I didn't pay that $100, and as well as, you know, I am aware of if that gentleman asked one more question, he would have had it. I mean, how funny that, you know, I mean, I get it. He didn't have a clue, I guess, to ask it, even though I was definitely like, he's going to ask, son of a bitch, he's going to ask, and I'm going to say 213. I mean, I just knew, you know, I don't flat out lie. That would have kept me up at night. I don't need the $100. I'm going to take the money.
Right,
I need to sleep,
right.
Which is why when somebody owed me work for a month, it became so clear to me, it's like, you're going to get into a battle over money with this person. And you're never going to get the money. So just give it up. I'm not that attached to money. Now, when I see opportunities, and listen, does it surprise anybody? What, Goldie was defiant? I get, that really shouldn't surprise anybody. It's what I preach. As much as being in integrity, I preach that I'm defiant. And, wow, and I see, isn't that interesting? I just kind of got a little bit like, you know, there are times when being defiant, you know, does serve, you know, the greater good of. Because it was interesting when I was telling my girlfriend, I said, who am I to say that, you know, maybe this gentleman who didn't balance his his bank, who am I to say that that situation wasn't it for him in his soul's experience? You know, meaning I was just playing my part so he would not have a balanced thing, because that was what his soul needed to experience. You know, this is not about just, you know, always. See, if we're always doing, quote unquote, the right thing, it, as crazy as it sounds, that does equate us to being good girls and good boys.
Well, and as crazy as it sounds, it probably was the true value of the tires anyway that you paid.
Yeah, like, right?
Right. With the whole markup and all, it's probably like really what the value.
It's what it should have been anyway.
You know.
Well,
but,
it's just so interesting because we can't know all of it. All we can know is truly how it feels. And I
all I know is if they had said to you, well, how much did you pay? And you would have said, I know you would have said it. So
I would have. Absolutely.
I don't really have a strong feeling about this, you know, like either way. I just don't, I don't feel like that, oh, that wasn't right. And, you know, I just.
Well, but you have things that happen in your life, right, that you know.
Right.
Stumble you along, right? Or bring in awareness.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. Where
because
you
I think, how can
right.
I talk about being defiant and then shun away from, you know, because I'm truly, I am in integrity. I tell you I'm defiant. This is just something I'm getting. It's like,
right.
You know, being in defiant, which is so interesting. Eckhart Tolle says it all the time. In the now moment, there
yeah.
is no definite answer. It's whatever is appropriate in the now moment. And one day it could be going left, and the following day you could be at the same intersection, and the right choice is to go right. You know,
I agree that there's no predictable, you know, this is how it will be every time, or this is how
right.
it plays out each moment. You know, I think that that's right. That's why tonight struck me that, you know, I didn't know if we were getting back on or not. And
I didn't either.
And I just thought it was just fun in a way. And you know, so I think that is kind of how it does play out.
I love our show because I think our show brings us into truly, you know, how can I put this? Well, in all honesty, me, you, and Simon, personally, I feel that we have on some level mastered our own shadow sides. That's not to say we don't still have more to experience, but we really are, you know, on some level, we're aware of our shadow sides. We've clearly jumped into the cauldron a few times in our lifetime. And we're there's a camaraderie, because was it any coincidence that it was the three of us that were on the show when the lights went out, so to speak? No. You know, I mean, and all of these things make me giggle because I'm like, but I believe that other people will listen to the show and receive some kind of benefit from it. And what that benefit is could be truly going, that Golden Hawk, you know, what a crook she is. Okay. Okay. Truth is, I did not pay. I am Sean the Rabbit Thief.
And he is a hero.
Well, I mean, because what's so funny is you see how people deny their own instincts to be authentic based on a moral judgment or based on, you know, a societal judgment, a religious judgment. And
yeah.
You know what?
Well, yeah.
I don't have
both.
That issue. You know?
No. I think that Sean the Rabbit Thief from, you know, is such a great example of you and the tires, because, you know, he was the first one to go, well, yeah, I'm a thief. You know, but he was truly the most honest thief you could. I mean, he really was. Like,
right.
That's not
an oxymoron. I mean, that really,
right.
He was an honest thief.
Yeah,
and listen,
and
I'm living in a world where I'm living under the poverty line for, you know, for a couple of years. I could use that $100 to what? To pay for the Meineke that's going to fix the leak in my exhaust. I mean,
right. Well, you know, it's so funny because when Sean, like, okay, so Whitley leaves on his bicycle at 9 years old to go do something that was important for him, and it was breaking the rules, and it was why he kind of advanced to that next place of awareness.
Okay.
And Sean the Rabbit Thief in my story, what I love about him is he's the one that's going to leave the forest, a very dangerous place, to go find the river. But what I love about Sean the Rabbit Thief was he left with a bag full of stolen food. Because it's just so cute, and it's so endearing, and it's like, yep, that's who he is. You know,
well, and it's so authentic, because you know what?
Authentic.
The hero needs a little support. It's as simple as that.
Right, and you know, it's just so, yeah, it was so kind of clean in a way, you know. So,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, it was like, yeah, he's a thief. But every, you know.
Simon,
but,
you've got to read her book so you know what we're referencing. We got to get you a copy. In fact, you know what? I'm going to gift Simon. I'll gift Simon,
wow,
right?
Wow, that's so sweet.
You know,
yeah,
I want Simon to
fantastic.
Have you a part of this. Okay, right on. Right on.
Yeah, yeah,
Simon,
he'll love this book.
Yeah, you got to get us your address. And because I want you will love this book. This book, and I want you to know what we're talking about. So
sweet. Yeah, he'll love Sean. And
private
message me again in Facebook your address, Simon, because
exactly. Send it to Janine.
Yeah.
All right.
I
and I got
have
the
it.
Cover. I got
I
the cloth, so
it.
I got that covered. Right on. Right
excellent.
On.
Excellent. Well, that's great. What
yeah,
a
right
great
on.
Thing.
Yeah,
I can't
see,
wait to Simon
I'm a generous
read it.
Thief.
That's so perfect. That's where it was supposed to go.
That is where it's supposed to go. I feel that.
So,
right on.
And I can't wait for Simon to read it because he's going to love where
he's going
to
relate.
Where the character is.
Right.
From.
And then he'll be able to share from their perspective. Because, Simon, we're going to end up doing a show on the whole book. And I definitely want you to be a part of that. In fact, I mean, I'm almost tempted to mail you a calling card. I know your English isn't so good, but I want you to call in. But anyways, no matter what, first we got to get you the book. So let's get you the book. And,
yeah.
Right on. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. All right, cool. So
excellent. Excellent.
Yeah.
What a great night.
It is a great night.
Did you hear look what he wrote?
His English is fucking amazing. I'll say it, Simon, even if you won't write it, I'll say it. Listen, we need to talk. I've been telling you for months and months and months that I want to hear us. Like, come on the show. Right on. To you too. Oh, tonight is good. Tonight is good. And you know what? I literally did. I did process this whole time.
I know.
Thing.
I feel
I
it.
I did. I mean, and I feel it too. I mean, I just see it's so beautiful to be able to sit with your stuff and own your stuff
mm-hmm.
because the magic that's in the air will literally take the creative tension. It will open doors, like, you know, calling in the show from the guest line. I didn't know to do that until it happened.
Yep.
But it's almost like my father once told me, my father's 78 years old. He swims 500 laps in the pool, and he walks every week 5 miles with a cane, God bless his soul. And I remember him telling me that, you know, the doctors, they were, you know, doing his blood pressure, and his blood pressure was very, very good. And they actually said to him, they were like, his heart is so strong, even if it got clogged, that it would literally force blood through a new area.
Wow.
That's how strong his heart was pumping. That he would create new arteries for lack of, you know.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
With
the force of his healthy heart pumping.
How strong it was. And I really believe that that's the metaphor for owning our authenticity. It's okay to not pay somebody. You know, people always go, if you found, you know, a wallet, would you, you know, I'd give the wallet back. But, you know, if I was in the situation I am financially, absolutely, give me the cash. Cash is mine. You can have everything else. It's as simple as that. Because
you
that's
are
my
Sean.
Truth.
I can't believe it.
Because what?
You are Sean.
I know. Listen, I sold drugs for 12 years. Clearly, I don't have an issue.
Well,
but I really believe that, you know, my heart is strong. It, you know, I, it, it's
I believe it too.
Yeah, there's something that I don't believe life is meant to, for us to just follow the rules. I don't believe that's what the whole human experience is about. I believe that the fullness of the experience is be defiant, you know, and be loyal. Be both sides. Be and. Don't be either or. Be and. You know, because, you know, I've worked in people's homes for over 22 years, actually, plus 26 years, 4 years cleaning houses, 22 years doing nannying. I have never taken a dime from anybody's house, ever. I just would never do that. So there's integrity. But, you know, have I gone bankrupt intentionally? Absolutely. Someone hands me a chance to not pay $100, done. You know, there's ways to work
but then you
these
are,
things.
But then there you are buying time in a book. I mean, you know, it's just all kind
well,
of a...
Because that's my way of saying thank you, Simon, for being here and being you.
Yeah,
this whole night, Janine, you know I love you. God knows. God knows, and everybody around here, everybody who's listening to the Mystical Mother Earth Show. It was just amazing. I don't know, because I feel good that...
I know.
You know, that I'm flowing again, and, you know, I can't wait, because I'm going to go outside. Scott is working on his... Scott is working on taking pictures of the moon and Jupiter, and he's going to set it up. I was out there lying on the ground last night, and boy, lying on the ground, if you talk about sucking the warmth out of you, the ground is, it's funny because I can lie, well, it's during the day, that's what it is. When you do it during the day, the sun will warm you.
Yeah.
But at night, it's like you become hyperthermic very quickly. And
get chilled.
You really, and it's an ache, like, it's like, I mean, it feels like Earth is taking your warm energy. And so Scott goes to me, he goes, well, listen, just when you get off the show, I'll blow up one of the blow up beds, and, you know, you can be on the bed. And I was like, oh, right on. I was like, okay, you know, and I could just tell, you know, he was like, you know, come be outside with me. And I'm like, absolutely. So,
yeah, all wrapped up.
Totally. In three blankets and a poncho. God knows Goldie loves to snuggle. It's my middle name. Oh, tonight was good. Tonight was really good. Tonight was really good. I thank you. I feel a clarity that is, and I love it. I mean, it only took a few days, and it's not hanging over me, which is wonderful, because I'll still watch my world for all the magic it has to offer. You know, I'm just, I can't even imagine that, Simon. Simon lives in, where do you live again?
Norway.
Yeah, and soon the sun is gone for 3 months.
Whoa.
Yeah, we'll be your sunshine pumpkin.
Yeah.
We'll send you loving thoughts. I really do give you a lot of credit. In fact, if you ever came, you know, I won't say if ever, when you come on the air, I would love for you to talk about, you know, what it's like to be in darkness that long. I mean, I truly am, you know, hats off to Sean. You know, I mean, that's quite the role to play.
Yeah.
But you know, seeing you, you're the beautiful being you are. Clearly, for your being, it works.
Mm.
But you know, if you ever want to move, you know, down to Florida, hey, come on out.
Florida.
The Sunshine State.
Why?
All right. I love you. Janine, tell people where they can find you in the book.
Oh, thanks. Okay, so the name of the book is The Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle. It can be found on my website, jlkimmel.com, or springtreepress.com, or amazon.com, or you can go to a bookstore and just ask them to order it. So thanks, Goldie, and can't wait to share the book with everybody when we talk about it.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And let's see, October 10th, Jennifer Adele, Simon, I know you like her. Jennifer Adele will be on the show doing animal totem readings. She's really quite, she's very good. She's very good. It's animal totem readings and nature readings. It was a great success last time she's on, so we're having her on again. So make notes on that on the calendar, October 10th. And we're going to get Daniel Jacobs on one more time to do the third and final sequence to the trans portal, moving, you know, within dimensions. I just haven't come up with a date that for both of us yet, so that's coming. All right,
okay,
I love you guys. Yeah, that was. We're having great responses to all the shows, so.